Right, he's going to get a move straight away. And Martin, they hit back.
Tigerland.
Rioli now from downtown.
And then Marlon picked up with a pirouette, spinning move.
Out the back, Dusty. All sorts of trouble here. The pickup's clean, and the snap is good. Marlon Pickett on debut in a grand final to kick a goal. Bang! Look at him get around it.
Dusty, goal number four, carry up.
There it is.
Dusty Martin. There's your Norm Smith medal winner. It's the Tigers' 89-point win on grand final day.
We've been looking forward to this all morning. Good enough to take some time out of his schedule. The two-time premiership coach of the Tigers is their hero. Damien Hardwick joins us this morning. Dimmer, congratulations. What a wonderful afternoon for you on Saturday.
Yeah, morning, guys. It was a terrific day. It's always nice to wake up a winner after one of the biggest days on the biggest stage, which is great.
Yeah, and Damien, whether you win or you lose, you always put yourself out on behalf of not only your club but football in general, and we salute you for that, mate. Congratulations. Can I ask you a question? You've won a premiership medal at a team winning its first premiership at Port Adelaide. You won one at Essendon, one of the big clubs in football. You then were the drought breaker, if you like, for the Tigers in 17. And this year was one where you had plenty of time to look at it. Can you take us through the emotions in those grand finals?
Crikey, that's a very serious question for this early.
Oh, no, catch just over the grass and we'll move on to the next question.
Oh, look, they're all so different. You know, yeah. I probably made the mistake if someone asked me whether, you know, this one was more special than 2017. And the fact of the matter is, because you're present right here, right now, it feels so much more, feels so much better. You know, and we did do it tough this year. You know, the adversity we probably went through, as a lot of sides did towards the back or the middle parts of the year, was, you know, it was quite incredible how our guys hung tough and eventually got ourselves, you know, healthy enough to give ourselves a real chance. And it was such an enjoyable year as a coach because it sort of changed throughout the course of the season. Like at stages we were like a young development side with the squad we went out there with, and then sort of when we got the majority of our troops back, you know, we got back to the more Richmond style of game that we know and love. But I found it very enjoyable as a coach.
Courage has never been an issue for you, Dimmer, but the bravest thing you might have ever done, if the story is true, did you wander down Swan Street grand final night? Is that actually true? How did you get out of there alive?
Yeah, well, I ended up being in bed by about, just after one, I think. And then I woke up about four and my phone wasn't charged. And I thought, I was at the Pullman and I thought, well, bugger it. I walked back to the club and then I thought, I might as well walk down Swan Street while I'm there at 4:15. So so there wasn't anyone there. There's a few cleaners cleaning up, but I was determined to get there at some stage, but no one else was there. So it was a bit disappointing.
Damien, can I ask you about the story that's most fascinated me? I know you've answered a lot of questions around this, but Marlon Pickett, tell me about the selection process, because this is one of the greatest AFL stories of all time for me. I loved everything about it, him playing so well on the big day. But talk us through the process of whether you were going to pick him, weren't going to pick him, and how you finally made that decision.
Yeah, it's a good question. It was it was a funny one because obviously after we won the Friday, we had a couple of boys, Jack Graham and Nathan Broad, that run us some injury clouds. And so we automatically just pulled out Camden McIntosh and Jack Ross. And so to be perfectly honest, you know, Marlon wasn't in the frame then. You know, he'd been a good player, but we thought, listen, first game, hasn't really played the system, got a reasonable understanding, but not a great one. And then all of a sudden he plays that bloody game on the Saturday. Or the Sunday it was, and he lit it up and it's like, well, we started to get our heads around, could this possibly happen? 6 day break. And then I probably, you know, after we spoke about it as a group of coaches on the Tuesday, we thought he was in, but then we're probably justifying reasons why he could go out, if that made sense, because it was such a big decision on the grand final stage. But I tell you what, I thank God we made that decision because he was simply wonderful on the day.
And Dimmer, can you tell us what he was like? He seemed the most relaxed, cool, calm customer right through it. Nothing fazed him. When you actually sat down and said, hey, Marlon, you're playing a grand final, what did he say to you?
Basically exactly what, you know, the emotion you thought that would be there, it just wasn't. He's just unflappable. It's quite incredible how, you know, you could tell he was smiling and all that, but you wouldn't know, like, there's no real celebration or jubilation or anything like that. He just takes it in his stride, and it's why, you know, come the biggest stage, he just looked like he'd been playing there for, you know, 5 or 6 years. And it's amazing to watch a kid that has been in a you know, an upbringing that he has, and he's got a terrific backstory, or troubled backstory, I should say, and to see him on the biggest stage play that game, it was just incredible.
Damien, what's the conversation like with the boys that you pull out of the VFL grand final at that stage? Because obviously you've put them, you've pulled them out of the final to put them on backup for the, you know, the grand final in the AFL, and then they actually don't get the opportunity to play either in the VFL or the AFL. Firstly, how do you have that conversation? And secondly, are you a subscriber to the fact that everybody who plays during the season and contributes to the premiership should get a medal?
Yeah, good question. It was tough because obviously after I'd spoken to Marlon to tell he was in, I had to tell those two boys that you know, they were playing in the grand final. So we did that. And once again, they're pretty emotional conversations because, you know, I did speak to those boys and said, listen, you guys won't play in the VFL, but there's no guarantee you're going to play in the AFL grand final either. And it's a credit to Camden and Jack Ross. They're incredible, very supportive, understood. But also, you could understand the disappointment of both those boys. But, you know, hopefully we'll get another opportunity somewhere down the track to reward those boys because they were simply incredible with that. I've always loved the thought of everyone getting a medal. I know it's not something that's done in our game, but, you know, I think we consistently talk about team and, you know, that it takes an entire squad to get you to where you are. And, you know, we've got one guy that played one game and we've got a guy like Jack Graham who played probably 15 or 16. And one guy gets a medal and the other one doesn't. And how much contribution can you put on one game as compared to the season? So, totally agree with you.
It is a team sport. It's not just the actual team. It's a club sport. And your club is on fire at the moment. The VFL Premiership, you're in sync. I think the hard work you've put into your Indigenous program allows you to get a player like Marlon Pickett to come in and feel comfortable over the last 3 months. Can you just, one final question. When you got to the break this year, the mid-season break, you'd lost your All-Australian fullback. You'd come off losing the preliminary final last year. Things were sort of bubbling around you outside the eight. What was the? How did you take stock in that little period of time and then come out and not lose a game after that?
Yeah, well, we sort of knew after the bye we were going to get some players back, which was a real positive for us. But we sort of went back to, you know, used 2017 as a bit of an inspiration because, funnily enough, at that point of the season, we were exactly the same. We were 7 wins, 6 losses. And we really gained momentum in the back end of that season, and it probably proved dividends this year as well. So, you know, our guys, we spoke about hanging tough, and then when we had the ability to get our squad back fit and healthy, we thought we could gain some momentum. But, you know, did I think we'd wheel off 12 straight or whatever it was? Probably not. But, you know, it was a wonderful story, and the guys deserve all the credit. Now, medical staff are terrific throughout the year also.
Hey, Dim, can I ask you a question? We lost 5 coaches this year, either resigned or probably more likely sacked most of them. And I can't help but go back a couple of years ago, and the whole world's coming after you, and you had great leadership and support with Peggy O'Neill and Brendan Gale, who knew exactly what you were about and knew what was going to... Is there a bit of a lesson in the industry, Dimmer, that perhaps we... jumps too soon and the pressure that comes on people in senior coaching roles?
I think so, Darce, but every club has got different circumstances. And look, with us, obviously we won... Oh, sorry, we made 3 final series before that. We had a horrible year in 2016. There was no hiding from it. But, you know, as we said, we're very strong as a you know, senior leadership group, especially with Peggy and Brendan. They've been wonderful supporters of mine and wonderful servants of our club. And we sort of knew that we had some things in place that we felt we could turn it around. But, look, every club's different in those situations. So it's hard to base it on one case. But we were pretty strong in where we thought we needed to be.
Dimmer, the Saturday night is now just one of outpouring of emotion. Sunday's for the fans. Monday for the players and the insiders. What's on today?
No, a bit of a low-key one for me today. We had a bit of a drink last night, sort of thing, got together as a group of coaches and recruiters. They'll be clear of the players. I'm not sure what they ended up like.
But, they can do what they like for 6 months.
Yeah, so we'll start our review process. You know, it's one of the... Look, it's a great time of year, but it's also a tough time of year too, because with your delisting of players moving on,
it
becomes a little bit more full-on. So, yeah, we'll start that process today.
Well, congratulations, mate. A 2-time premiership player and a 2-time premiership coach. at three of the biggest clubs in the game, all different emotions. And as I said, I couldn't thank you any more for what you've been able to do for us in the media. You always make yourself available, and you've been a tremendous leader of your organisation, but the game in general. You're absolutely an ornament to the game, as they say, absolutely. Is the old cliche, but you are, Damien, and congratulations on everything you've brought to the game for everybody.
Thank you, guys. Love your show, too.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Damien. Thanks, we appreciate that. And we'll just cut that up and play that right through the next 6 months, okay?
We worked for 10 minutes just to get to that moment. That's all
I've got to be honest with you. I'm so glad I didn't ask him the question if they're a better team without Alex Rance now.
Oh, yeah. good one to hold that one back, actually. Will, yeah.
I was about to roll that one around.
Damien, he's still there.
He's jumped back on the line now. Yeah. He's just about to say, get stuff.
Are you there, Damien?
Quick, we're going to go to the A30 News.
He's there.
Yeah. Hello. Go and ask him. Go on, mate.
Sorry, Demo. I was going to ask, does this prove the theory that you're a better team without Alex Rance?
Oh, no. He's a superstar. As far as I'm concerned, we've got the number one draft pick coming in our side next year, and Alex, he's a superstar. Can't wait to get him back.
Well said.
Go on, Demo. Enjoy it, mate.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Damien Hardwick joining us on Triple M's Hot Breakfast. I know we're late for the news. We might as well be really late. The medals. Now, there is a push on very much and led by the chairman of the AFL Commission for all players who play during the course of the year to get a premiership medal. There is also a push on about recognising the players who make the grand final. So what used to happen is until 1981, for a period there from about 1977 onwards, they presented the losing team with medals on the ground. Now, at the moment, they've got to sit there because you've got to sit there and cop your whack and watch it all happen in front of you. Now, there's no talk about necessarily presenting them on the day with these medals, but if you remember, you guys may not remember, but where it stopped was in 1981. Peter Moore got his medal. He was the captain of Collingwood that day, went into the game with a hamstring injury, wasn't able to get near the ball in the last quarter, literally didn't get a touch because his hamstring was hanging off and he was trying to limp around. And having lost in 77, 79, 80 and 81, he'd had enough of it, was presented with a loser's medal, threw it into the crowd, and everyone said, oh, that's the end of it. Like all these things, sometimes emotion and cliche takes hold. Now people down the track, having played in the grand final, say, well, I wouldn't mind actually being recognised.
They did bring it back in the 90s too, though. The North Melbourne, when they lost in 1998, were presented with runners-up medals, and one of their directors grabbed them all and threw them in the bin.
Yeah, but that's what you have. You get a bit of this stuff going.
But it hasn't traditionally gone that well, the runner-up medals.
So what they're thinking of doing, I put this to you, Luke Darcy, is this. Do we then, on the grand final parade, when they are all brought up onto the stage, every player who gets up there gets a grand final medallion before the game?
No.
When do you get it?
Send it in the mail, I think.
Yeah, present it at the best and fairest.
Yeah, I think maybe that's probably the time. I think all roads lead to winning on the day. Mm-hmm. I think anything is going to be token. Yep, afterwards, go your club best and fairest. You want to recognise it then, it's probably the time to do it.
What the AFL are trying to do, though, is actually find something a little bit more.
I understand what they're trying to do. I just know the emotion won't work. I just think it's going to be...
Well, they can get it later on. That's fair enough. Yep. Maybe at the best and fairest. The other
when
one,
the
of
emotion's
course,
out of it,
is the McClellan Trophy, now that there's a bye, a proper presentation, and maybe even a cash bonus for the team that finishes on top of the ladder.
Cash bonuses always work. No one throws them in the bin. Seb Costello's got the 8:30 news for Crown coming up next year on Triple M.